Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. We gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy.
think I wanna hit the horn.
Wake up. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the world. According to Drew, I'm Andrew with him live in Studio A this morning on this beautiful Sunday, October 2nd, the day that the Lord has made. I tell you, what a beautiful, beautiful day it is in Dallas, Texas. We're going to hopefully talk with some folks from Florida. What a week. What a week. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. No excuse for the news, Texas Metro News, My Eye Messenger, and the Garland Journal. No excuse. So much is going on, it's fair in the air. And I'm telling you, I got a chance to go out there last night for the Grambling Prairie View game. Very nice. You know, so many misnomers about people and activities going on there at Fair Park. Absolutely wonderful time. And it's just amazing. Anytime we can get us together and there's things that are unscathed, it is wonderful. And I say that again, wonderful. And it's something about the fair, the football game that just, you know, just bring out the kid in us to just enjoy the festivities. And it was just good. Talked with a lot of people on yesterday on the field and up at the box. Well, all three. I did a trifecta yesterday. Was on the field talking to a few folks in the stands, talking to a few folks, and then up in the press box area. So I tell you, if I sound tired, I am. But, you know, I'm left kind of mixed watch. Take a listen and keep on ticking. We've got so much going on today. Some of the stories that we're going to look at, I tell you, it just get you in mind. You know, last week we were preparing for Iron, and we'll talk about devastating ocean. Hopefully, we'll have some folks on that went through the storm down in Florida that will come on and talk to you a little bit. What's going on in Russia? It's Putin is just barely hanging on, trying to maintain, doing the drastic measures. We'll talk about that. The elections are coming soon. Make sure you participate in the process, especially here in Texas. We got some things going on. You see some people attacking each other on there. What happened to clean politics? Has there ever been clean politics? Probably not. Even when I had my hat in the ring, I had a couple of things I had to deal with people saying. But, you know, it is what it is, and that's why you have debates. Concussions in National Football League, we'll talk about that. See what you think about some of the concussions and what people are really thinking about as it relates to the National Football League. Is it worth the players' health, safety, and well-being to go out when they can't even remember their name? We'll talk about that. And, you know, we opened up talking about the fair. We're going to talk about some of these new nuances with this food, which is simply breathtaking. I'm telling you, breathtaking. And I'm telling you, they fry anything. Twinkies, if you get too close with your finger, they might even fry that too. So we got 2 hours to knock it out. We got some guests coming on. I see our most faithful person is on as always, and I thank you, love you for it. And we just kind of go, let it flow this morning. You know, let's and we're going to review these a couple of times, kind of get you stirred up a little bit. I want to say on yesterday, it was absolutely wonderful to come up and down Martin Luther King Boulevard and see the assortment of people. You can tell those who were not locals, they avoided Martin Luther King. Some of them went down Pennsylvania. Some of them went down Metropolitan just to get to the stadium on the backside. But for those who just want to showcase and show off the nice, pretty rides and motorcycles and I almost say tricycles, but the tri-motorcycles, if that's how you want to say it, three-wheelers. It was just really nice. Well-behaved crowds from the Capitol House to Atlanta with the Deltas and Qs mixing on one end. And then you go down to the other end, the Omegas, were all the way down to, I guess you would call that 45 or old 175. They had the whole major block together, and you talk about a great time. Everybody got along, you can see the, you can always tell when it's a new Greek. You know, they like to be in clusters, and that's okay. That's okay. But it was all about the family reunion, the survival of our historically black colleges and universities, and it was put on in Big D in grand fashion. So we really enjoyed that yesterday. Hopefully we get a few people on. They're probably still sleeping from the events on yesterday. But you can see who woke up and is still here trying to provide some information for you. So again, you know, I'm going to talk about that food. I'm ready to hit that food now, but we'll get a few more people on and get some reactions there. You know, it's football Sunday. Can't forget that. And we love it. I am absolutely excited about that as well. Excited about me some football today. And we'll discuss that a little bit now. I'm looking at some of the contests today. Actually, if you, right now, they're playing over in England. So it's been about an hour now. You got Cincinnati. I'm sorry. You have New Orleans. It started about 8:30, about 30 minutes. You have New Orleans and Minnesota going across the Big Pond. I checked with my correspondent there at the Big Pond, and they're still sleeping. So they had no idea getting involved in the football game today. You have Chicago and New Orleans, New York, and Giants, I'm sorry, Cleveland and Atlanta, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Chargers in Houston, the Jets in Pittsburgh, Seattle in Detroit, Tennessee in Indianapolis, Washington is here in Dallas. It's going to be a 12 o'clock kickoff. So go ahead and be ready. You know how we do. Church is not going to be full this morning. At least not the 11 o'clock hour, because everybody's trying to see the Cowboys play. Arizona's at Carolina. Denver is in Las Vegas. New England travels up to Green Bay. Kansas City travels down to Tampa Bay. And the Rams will be in San Francisco. So you get your idea of what you're going to have on the national football scene. And then, of course, you know, at the top of the hour, we'll talk about our colleges and black college football. All right. I have some hot topics. I was waiting on a few more people just to come in so that we can talk about some of these things. This week I was talking to a lot of people. We were comparing natural disasters. And, being a Florida resident and being born in Florida, you know, it kind of comes with the territory. I always tell people when it comes to hurricanes, you actually know they're coming. And you prepare. And not often do we get those major hits like we did to the state of Florida. You know, in our lifetime, it seemed like Louisiana was getting more. Texas got a few. So anybody that's on the Gulf is susceptible to these hurricanes. And even if you're on the Atlantic coast, when Ian went back across the state of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, so they're just part of those natural disasters that you actually have to pay attention to. Other disasters, natural disasters, you know, in the Kansas and Midwest region, you have tornadoes, earthquakes on the West Coast, blizzards and storms up in the Midwest, all the way up at the top. Same for the East Coast. So, again, this great country that we live in, we could run into so many different weather issues. The good thing, our meteorologists are on top of it. So you know what's going on. Unfortunately, the lives were lost in Florida. But, folks, we have to prepare. You know what we should do in our house? We would have drills. Well, of course, as a kid, you're like, well, it's not here. Why are we practicing? But we all need to practice. For power outages, we need to make sure we have flashlights. I guess it's called emergency preparedness is what we need to do at our homes. What happens if your water goes out? Then you go and get you know, some bottled waters or go to Walmart or these little substations. They have ice and water, and you prepare by getting those things available already. So, again, nothing's perfect about this world, but, again, we can sit in and just think about all the things that we can do for emergencies. And I tell you, Texans were tested a couple of years ago when we had the ice storm. Or should I say, not so much ice storm. We had snow, winter blizz here in Texas. And that seems to be the big subject as it relates to our election. What was done when we, with these power grids? It's just so much going on, folks. And we just love to take advantage of your thoughts. It's about 22 minutes after the hour. Just tell your friends if you want to spread. Tell them, come on and join us this morning. We just going to have a good old time here this Sunday morning. We want to create our own family reunion. And we're just going to play that momentarily.
Family reunion, gonna have a family reunion.
I tell you, that's what it was yesterday. Just a good old family reunion, seeing a lot of friends as we try to open this world back up after COVID. I tell you, folks, still got to be a little careful out there. We can't just totally let our guards down. I think we've all been a little lax about it, but I think we just need to get back on track as it relates to that. I tell you, just a lot going on this morning. We're just scrambling. We've got a couple of guests coming on, but I guess they had too much time relaxing at the football game on yesterday. And wasn't so much during the game. I'm sure someone had some interesting beverages in their cup, and maybe they've I had to catch myself. We should say something about the cup. But hopefully they can get together, get a cup of coffee, kind of get back into swing of things this morning. I tell you, a lot of the insurrection stuff is still going on in Washington. Now they're questioning Clarence Thomas's wife on some things and how strong she was. And, of course, like any spouse would do, say that my husband did not have anything to do. Right. You got that. Again, he was very much aware of your activity, I would think, if that's your wife or your husband. And then there you talk about some things. I'm going down to the White House today to do, oh, okay. One of those moments in the house. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what is going on with that. I pose a question. Do you think anything would happen from that? I know in the state of Texas, we had several people who were residents of our state of Texas that participated in the insurrection. A few of them has gone before. One of the big prizes is going before the committee now. And I like the way the committee kind of held up some of their meetings based on some of the natural things that were affecting other citizens in the United States. So we'll get with that a little bit later as well. I'm still looking for my person down in Florida to give me a call. They've yet to be there. But let me just talk about some of the things as a kid that we had to deal with when it came to storms. We talk about preparedness. Shutters being dropped over your windows to make sure any flying debris did not break your glass. It was a deterrent for any debris flying, and it worked pretty good. We used to have these awnings that, of course, kept your house a little cooler, but they also served as a cover for your window. And what you would do is remove the screw or the pin, and the awning would drop over your window. And then you re-secure it. We had canvases, we had metal, you name it, depending on the size and the particular window or whatever size. You know, you never know which direction, but if you lived on the water, we had different type of shutters on the backside where it was open with water and everything. You would have more of your metal. On the side, you have the cloth, and depending on the front of the house, you had cloth, because usually it was an astronomical cost to get these awnings in place. But we made it. Now, a lot of families are putting up 2x4s on the base, and you're putting plywood sheets across your windows. And it's so funny how it looks now. Is that actually very decorative when they have the strips built into the wall so that you can go ahead and screw your plywood across your windows. They also provide sand so you can get your own sandbags to try to keep the water from rising into your home. So, folks, don't think people are not prepared. There's some things that were just overwhelming that you could not prepare for. Contractors, you're going to have some good ones. You're going to have some great ones. And if we go the other way, you're going to have some that just get by the minimum code. But it's something about natural disasters that do not stand, you know, in doing these hurricanes or tornadoes. Let me rest you assured, if you get a home in Florida, the best thing to do is get you some cinder block. Cinder block is probably about 16 to 20 inches long, very sturdy. I know in Texas we do a lot of framing of our homes, and then we put bricks outside the frame. Now, the bricks will give you a little hole, but basically it's a skeleton inside the brick. Well, what we do, we start with the brick, and then we put the dividers and wood inside the brick. It's kind of like a surrounding wall. So all of those things will be right there in place. So it's a lot as we go, you know, through the store. I talked with friends throughout Miami, the southern tip in the southeast corner of the state. They did have a tornado in Pembroke Pines, which is North Miami, a suburb. And everything was on the other coast. They had friends in Fort Myers. Just unbelievable devastation for the governor, which is a new thriving area in Florida. So we just talked and wanted to reassure them that we supported their causes. And it's just good to hear voices reconnect. I had text streams going with several people. And we talked throughout the storm. And then on my side, where the storm came in, actually it was supposed to go across St. Petersburg over to Tampa. But it hit us about 45 miles south in that Sarasota region. And a lot of the snowbirds that come down to the region, they get frame houses, you know, like we would do here. And it can, when you have 100-plus winds, mile-per-hour winds, it's hard for it to stand up to it. But, again, folks, Florida gets a bad rep, and it's the first time in a while of devastation. I know my namesake several years ago, Hurricane Andrew, did a lot of devastation down in South Florida. And it's so bad that it wiped away an Air Force base that was in Homestead, Florida. So we lost that military installation. But, folks, if you're ever down there and they tell you a hurricane coming, of course they have projections of where it could hit. Just like, again, it missed Tampa when it was forecast to go through Tampa, but it crossed into the peninsula in Sarasota. So you have Sarasota, you have Bradenton, Fort Myers. Trying to take everything going down, all the way down to Naples, and some new communities in between that were not established when I was a citizen of the great state of Florida. So things grow. That's just like here in Dallas. You know, you knew about Dallas, Fort Worth, maybe Plano, Richardson. Then you get the emergence of Little Am, and these cities have been around, but I'm just saying the idea of the growth, and especially in the Dallas area where you have Little Am, Prosper, Corinth, Denton has picked up, even though they've had some universities up there for many years. So you can see the plight of cities, Midlothian, always been there, but growing. Mansfield, been there, but growing. So it's just showing that people are moving into these states. But when you move into states, find out. First of all, this is a helpful hint. Find out the future plans for that particular area. When I moved, I made sure that I knew what future players were. Are there going to be any roadways, any this, any that? And we found out exactly what we were doing or what they were doing, and then we had to determine, are we willing to stick through it? And yes, we did. And we found out a lot of things were going on in this part of the Dallas region. And they were right. But you can find out future players. Don't be shocked. And I love to tell people this. If you live in Lancaster or Lancaster, however you want to say it, you see right now George Bush Freeway is circling the county. Okay? It's circling the county. It ends in Lake Ridge, which is still Dallas County. It's going to continue to go south, possibly across Lake Ray. I think of the one in South Joe Pool. Go across Joe Pool, circle around, maybe right on the north side of the Dallas County line. It's going to circle, and it's going to join eventually right where I-30, where it ends right now. So those are future plans that they're going to have for that. And you need to know. I know 40 is a very hot area for people. It's a major gas line that runs out that way from East Texas that supply. So if you don't mind, you know, being in an area where a potential something could happen, and it doesn't matter where you are in this world, but at least know the future plans. Don't sit up there and say, well, how do you know that was coming? You know what's coming because you're an active participant in what your neighborhood brings to the table. Those are things that you have to do. It's just called preparedness. And with this preparedness in Florida, you know it's coming. You have evacuation routes. And like I said, all these models are putting things into place. And we just have to say, oh, well, we just don't stick it out. Well, sometimes sticking it out ain't the best decision. You need to find out things change. There was a cold front coming from the west that pushed that tornado out of, pushed Tampa out of Florence way. Okay? So Orlando, those surrounding areas, they got a lot of rain, some winds, you name it. And it was such a concern about that area. Here's a little tidbit of history for you all. Most rivers run from north to south, with the source being in the north. The St. John's River in Jacksonville, Florida, and throughout an area of Florida, it actually runs north. Did you hear that? It actually runs north when the major Mississippi River runs south, like most rivers. See, people didn't know that. But what the soil was doing, if it's running north, it went to a point where the flow of the St. John's River reversed. So now you have the storm surge. You have water that's coming down that normally would go up, guess what? It's going to be a wet evening. And that's where you saw a lot of boats floating downstream. Okay, what happened to securing your boat? When this boat started, this 1,000-pound boat is swaying, it's going to cut itself loose. And you see boats going up and down the street, trailers. You know, it's a lot of people in older communities that are in Florida that had to take the blunt of this particular storm. So I'm telling you here, those who are listening, if you always have loved ones in that particular area, please try to get them to evacuate. I tell people it's easier to replace a home. And it's insurance and stuff, because a lot of people don't have insurance or flood insurance in those areas. They recommend it. You haven't, but a lot of people would skip it. But you can replace a home, but you can't replace a life. Those are the things that you have to be aware of. Again, natural disasters happen everywhere in this country, and you have to be prepared for it. I'm telling you, being prepared will possibly save your life. It's unfortunate of the number of people that have passed. You had nursing homes that were underwater. People were getting out. People were saving people in the streets. Now, you know, there were some gators that washed up. But that's Florida. I'm sure if things would have happened a little lower in the Everglades, how about the snakes? Now, I know you think in Florida is bad, but think about the comparison of that of Louisiana when they were getting hurricanes almost like paychecks. And it's very unfortunate for the citizens of New Orleans, what they went through, the citizens of Lake Charles, Louisiana, the citizens in the southeast region of Texas. And, you know, we do have natural habitats for our gators, and we've had situations where people have put gators that have learned to adapt everywhere. And I can't remember what city in the north where a gator was frozen in a pond. But they broke the ice just enough so that they could breathe. See, we all survivors, all creatures, are in a position where they can make logical thoughts in order for self-preservation. So it's there. It's that instinct that we've been granted. Again, prepare, check in with your family to see, it's family and friends to see how they're doing. It was a scary moment for me. And again, you have family, their friends, people that you care about. And you're wondering if they are following everything that we know to do. So, again, it is just breathtaking for the lives that are lost. I think that the paramedics and the disaster teams did the best they could. You know, you look for the rescue of bringing people out, and now the search is on for those who may not be accounted for. So, you know, you go from sunshine to rain to devastation, and when the sun shines again, you're back to square one. So, again, I solicit your prayers for those individuals, Florida, some of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. And people don't expect the east coast of Georgia to be in a hurricane zone. South Carolina, North Carolina, any coastal city has the opportunity. East Coast city, that's on the coast, has the potential of getting a tornado. People in Bermuda, they are prepared. Remember, they have no buffers, none. They sit out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, similar to those of Puerto Rico and Cuba, hoping that when they cross over an island before them, that it will weaken. Bermuda has nothing. They know how to channel the rain off their roofs and collect water. So they making the most, you know, I talk about, let me give you a good example. Some of the favorite foods that we may consume, let's look at ranch dressing. Remember when grandmama and them used to have milk and we enjoyed it, had a glass of milk, peanut butter, jelly sandwich, had milk to go with the coffee. Well, if the milk stayed up too long or stayed out, it created buttermilk or sour, as you would call it, but it's buttermilk. But then grandmother would use that buttermilk to make the best pancakes. to make the best cornbread. All right? We took a good situation that went bad to make something good happen. All right? Let's go into the grape business, the wine business with the grapes, when they had the great rain out in California. All the grapes went down off the vine. The sun came out. The grapes became raisins. You see where I'm going with this? So in the midst of the storm, there's a great, there's a silver lining. You know, maybe some lives lost, and we're sorry for that. My condolences to all the families that have lost their loved ones. But it's going to help us understand these hurricanes a little bit more, be able to bounce back, maybe put floodgates like New Orleans. And that's a whole other story, because I feel differently about New Orleans with Katrina. But we need to, again, embrace the negative to get a positive spin so we'll know what to do in the future. I tell you, natural disasters are something. We cannot ignore those. And we always are in the midst of something. But let's make that something go into everything. It's about 48 minutes after the hour. We talk about the great State Fair of Texas that is here upon us. We talk about the Grambling a little bit in depth. Grambling Prairie View, which is an outstanding game. Everybody, I had a wonderful time. People back out, but folks, again, I announced that we need to be careful. Now, when it comes to the State Fair, we'll do a little bit now, and we'll continue. It runs a long time, folks. So get out there if you don't want to be at night. Go during the day. Enjoy some of the festivities associated with the State Fair of Texas. You know, the highlight, you see people with funnel cakes. We used to call them elephant ears, where the dough is like that, big dough with confectioner's sugar. The turkey legs, candy apples, of course your corn dogs, and we used to call those pronto puffs down in Florida. So some of you may, and I know you being from Texas, you never heard that term, pronto puffs. Here you use a lot of cornmeal. In Florida, we use pancake batter. Look it up if you don't trust me. I would love for you and let you know how people do things differently throughout our country, but the same concept. So every year, the State Fair comes out with new foods. And let me go through a list of them for you. There's a dough buff. Or could you say dough buff? If I said it that way, you would definitely understand. A dough buff is a yeast donut battered in banana nut muffin batter. Okay, sounds good. Deep fried, like duh. Everything else is fried here. It's a donut and a muffin. And the dough muff is stuffed with Bavarian cream and topped with pecan for some of us. And since we've arrived with, say, pecan butter glaze, fresh bananas, and strawberries. That is a dough muff. Try that. Shaking beef salad, or is the French-inspired Vietnamese dish that consists of beef sauteed with cucumber, lettuce, tomatoes, red onions, pepper, and soy sauce. The beef is cut into small cubes the size of being diced before being sauteed. That's shaken beef. Fried soul food egg roll. I thought this was quite interesting. It's a twist of a southern staple guaranteed to become a State Fair favorite. It's an egg roll filled with tender barbecue flavored marinated chicken combined with grandma's old school flavored collard greens with some mac and cheese. deep fried to a golden perfection and topped with a Southern Asian fusion sauce that perfectly complements the dish. A treat sure to please all fair attendees. A fried soul food egg roll. Y'all think about that. So now we find macaroni and cheese, collard greens. Now, I remember my grandmother used to fry collard greens. You know, we still kind of pan fried a little bit. See, I should be on this list. I got some good recipes. And you know what? If you have some good recipes and kind of mix them up, you could be featured in the State Fair of Texas as well. Let me give you one more. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, we will talk about black college sports. We do that every Sunday morning during the fall. The next one we have is the Deep Fried Country Cookout. This hearty dish includes an array of flavors celebrated throughout the great state of Texas. We start with a healthy serving of well-seasoned pulled pork that is mixed with generous amounts of herb goat cheese and a house-made special sauce. Our tasty Texas-sized patty is then coated in panko crumbs to give it just the right amount of crunch for every bite. To finish, we place a dollop of coleslaw. I guess that's just a little drop or two of coleslaw and potato salad on top of the deep fried masterpiece, drizzled with sweet and homemade jalapeno barbecue sauce. For those who like things hot, this might be the best thing for you. Okay, dip with the jalapeno barbecue sauce, giving you a delicious Texas tang. That's a deep fried country cookout. We'll go through some more throughout the show to give you a little bit of Southern at State Fair of Texas. You know, last night I got a chance to walk through the fair. Normally it's kind of in and out for me, but I walked and ran into a lot of friends. It was just good being out again. Again, folks, I say we need to be careful. We need to try to do as much as we can to stick around for another day. There was a close proximity with people. You were at the games, and you know the Cotton Bowl was built 12,000 years ago. So you're right there on top of each other. Okay, that's what we expect in venues, our sporting venues. But still, take caution. We want everyone to be safe, absolutely safe. So as we approach the top of the hour, 8:55, at 9 we will do it. I repeat that. Some of the things we've covered this morning, we want your input on. We still go back. As I went through Florida, again, check on your loved ones to see if everything is okay. Putin over in Russia is making some key decisions and impacting so many lives, not only in that region, but in the world. So what will the NATO, how will they respond to what's going on? You know, we would definitely see that. Elections are soon, so put yourself in a position where you're able to vote. We have a lot of state positions that are open, governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. A lot of advertisement has been going across. Well, they're going to have a debate. Please at least listen to the debate if you have not made your mind up about the candidate of your choice. So check your local listing, and we'll try to get those as we go as well. Another subject that we're going to talk about in the second half is about concussions, sports-related concussions. My question to you, are they handled properly? And my question with that part of do they happen, or do they get treated properly? Or are they just putting a Band-Aid on the situation for a player to continue to play? And we're talking about the quarterback Tua, as he's affectionately called, but the name is Tagovailoa. You know what I'm talking about, Tua. Tua, that sounds good to me. Too early on Sunday morning for me to be having all these tongue twisters. But the young man had some injuries last week. He comes back this week. And then they want to blame it on the neurologist that was over there. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth on that, because you know how they say something smells fishy? All right, yeah, a little corn humor for the Dolphins. But it's going to be quite interesting how this unfolds. I just think they're using the young man because of his talent, don't care about his outcome in his life. Remember, Tua came from a historic past. And it's hard to, you know, we'll talk again about it after the football game, but just kind of think about it a little bit. We want some participation. We'll get you to press 1 so that we can talk to you a little about it and get your opinion on it. But right now, it's the top of the hour. Let's do some Black College sports. Good morning. Welcome to our Black College Sports. I'm Andrew Wiggins, live from Studio A this morning. We're talking about teams from the SWAC, DIAC, CIAA, and the SIAC. In football action on yesterday, a lot, as we go through things, we had Yale defeating Howard 34-26. Morgan State is victorious over Virginia University of Lynchburg 44-10. Campbell over North Carolina Central 48-18. Sacred Heart defeats Norfolk State 31-14. Lane College over Tennessee State in a squeaker 28-27. Alabama A&M defeats Bethune Cookman 35-27. Delaware State over Robert Morris 14-9. North Carolina A&T over Bryant 24-13. Southern defeats Arkansas Pine Bluff 59-3. Alabama State over Texas Southern 16-13. Prairie View is victorious over Grambling in the State Fair Classic. My account was about 50,000 people. You know, you had people coming in, you had people going to the box. Absolutely wonderful. I even went up to the top to get a bird's eye view of how beautiful the red and gold and the purple and gold, how people came together to celebrate Black College football here in Dallas. We'll talk about that a little bit more as well. And then out of Tallahassee, you know how I did it. The devil, what is it called? Down in the Delta. Delta Devils played the Riders in 48 of them. You know the outcome. Riders 34. Mississippi Valley 7. That's all the Black College sports. You stay tuned and make sure we get a little bit of share so that she can make sure she keeps it in your head about our historical Black colleges and universities. Last week, folks, we celebrated HBCU month. We had a HBCU week, and it was just good to show people what our historically colleges, Black colleges and universities, can offer. Oftentimes, we are our worst enemy. Yeah, we do have some deficiencies. What college does not have deficiencies? You know, one of the largest deficiencies that we may have is sometimes the lack of funds. If you're a state school, they make money off the number of kids that are present. That's on their roll. So if I get $40, just throwing a figure out there, it's much more than that. But if I get 40, I would be better with 100 kids, just simple math, than it would be with 50 kids. So that's how some of the schools are being treated that are state-owned. Then you have the private schools that usually have a church affiliation. Right here in Dallas, we have Paul Quinn with the AME Church. You have Jarvis Christian, Texas College, just to name a few that have church affiliations. You have Spelman. You have Morehouse. They get a lot of their donations from alumnus, which we all should get back in some form or fashion. They have foundations that support. The big question, do we need HBCUs? That's what a lot of people, well, HBCUs are getting a lot of attention, you know. And HBCUs are open up to a lot, to everyone. We probably see proportionally more non-black students in our HBCUs than we would see black in traditionally white universities. Do I need to repeat that? In our historically black colleges, we see more non-blacks in proportion to what the enrollments of those HBCUs compared to the predominantly white institutions, the number of blacks. And I tell people all the time, you can go where you want to, and that's good. We want you to have that higher education. If you want to go to XYZ, go to XYZ. You want to go to ABC, go to ABC. But just, we need you to go. Be an active participant in your university. I tell you, I've never really been shy, maybe once or twice. But the greatest thing about where I went to school at Florida A&M, I participated. I was able to do things on a larger scale than I did in high school. And it was just wonderful. And I tell people a story. FAM wasn't my first choice. It was in my top five, but it wasn't my first choice. But then I sat back. The school I wanted said I had great scores even back then. They would let us know. They never did say anything. So I have a family of Rattlers. I actually have some Wildcats from Bethune-Cookman in the family. They start saying, you need to start looking more our way. Okay. Start looking, got involved. It was kind of hard to turn down Florida A&M when your parents went to Florida A&M. So we talked about it to the 11th hour. I decided to go to Florida A&M. At that point in my life, it changed. I tell you, a lot of people say anytime you get us together in large numbers, a lot of great things don't happen. Well, I tend to differ. We had competition among ourselves. And I always say the same, and some of you may know her. Her name is Candy Wall. She was from Tifton, Georgia. We had a couple of classes together. It might have been trigonometry or something. I don't know what it was. It was a math class. And I always thought if you were from a bigger city that you were smarter than somebody from the country. I'm just telling you, that was my thought process at 17 and 18 years old. But you found out that knowledge is universal. Knowledge is at a point where if you gain the benefits from it. So this young lady got a 97. I think I got a 90. I went home and I studied even more. And then I was one up on her the next week because I felt, again, You know how we think small? I can't let this country girl. That's what I kept saying. Can't let this country girl beat me. But mind you, again, 17, 18 years old, you're thinking that way. But I tell you, she was my driving force. You know, your parents, they drive for the cave. You don't mess with money. You got that motivation. But we just kept working hard and doing things. Another good friend of mine, Lonnie Carr. Hey, you know, we tight buds. Well, we were in competition, not actively, but we were trying to just make sure that we did the best that we could. And that's what these HBCUs are about. You got kids that are competing for the top spot at that particular university. Because when companies come in, they're looking for the achievers. Any company. So it was just good competition in our schools. And that's why I support our HBCUs. Our PWIs are doing great things too. But I'm living within the means based on what I gain. And I'm going on to get other, engage in other schools once I left FAMU. But it was something about that kinship that went a long way, really went a long, long way. So we'll talk about that. You know, I get such a soft heart for our historically black colleges and universities, but I want to, you know, we started talking out about some of the weather conditions, and I have a great friend that's down in Florida right now. If he could press one and, survive the storm and just give us a bird's eye view of what Floridians had to do with Ian. Ian, however you pronounce it, I-A-N. All right. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, we know you've been in and out of Tallahassee, back home. Tell us a little bit in preparedness, going through the storm and the recovery. What, as a Floridian, what do you all, is it a prepare process that you go through for each stage? I'll let you go ahead and talk about it.
Well, first of all, thankfully, for the Tampa Bay area, the storm took a turn to the south. That's unfortunate for the people down in the Fort Myers area because they pretty much got devastated from, like, Naples coming north, Marco Island, one road into the island completely wiped out, people having to be rescued by boat and airlifted. Sanibel Island, the bridge was wiped out. So Tampa Bay, we prepared for the worst, and we hope for the best, and prayerfully, we were spared. We caught the fringes of it, but for the most part, Tampa Bay was spared. People without power for a few days, some still without power. Traffic signals out in a lot of places. A lot of trees and debris. Down, my yard was covered in debris, my whole street really. Took about 2 days pretty much to clean up the yard. But in the grand scheme of things, the Tampa Bay area was spared and south of us was really devastated. We went and east of us in Polk County going over toward Orlando where the theme parks are, Universal, Disney, all of that. Took a pretty good hit as well, not so much from the wind, but the rain and the flooding over in that area. Typically, in Florida, we prepare every year for hurricane season. You know, you get the forecast. Most newer homes, if they're anywhere near the water, are built with hurricane shutters that come with the house. You have the attachments around your windows, and you attach the shutters. My son is closer to the water than me. He boarded up his home with the shutters, and he and his wife and baby ended up coming to our home and riding out the storm with my wife. I work in healthcare, so I was at the hospital working around the clock pretty much. He lost power and didn't get power back. When did he get power back, Sheila? Huh? Friday morning. It was Friday morning before he got power back. And there were some people, not sure how it happened, but on my block, we never lost power. But when you go about six houses away from me going in both directions on my street, they were without power until some of them yesterday morning. So it's kind of hit or miss as far as that. My church didn't really sustain a whole lot of damage, a little bit of minor cosmetic damage. The Progress Village area, you know where that is, Drew, they kept power through the storm, and then the day after the storm, I guess, as the electric companies were restoring power, they lost power briefly. So it's something that as Floridians we prepare for every year. There's a forecast of how many storms you might expect, but they can never, of course, predict what intensity those storms might be. And the good thing about a hurricane is you see it, you know, from far off coming, so you can prepare to a certain extent, but the forecast is still an iffy thing. All the models showed it coming toward first Tallahassee, then coming directly, you know, into Tampa Bay, which would have been devastating to Tampa Bay, just as it was in the areas that it hit. And then at the last minute, it took a sharp turn to the east and came ashore south of us as almost a Cat 5. So we were fortunate in this area, but the areas south of us are devastated. It's going to take years to recover.
Right. And, you know, as you said, there are different models that that you can see. And we tracked it all the way through Puerto Rico. The forecast was pretty much on point because it was one to two once they hit the west end of Cuba. It got into some warmer water and intensified. And like you said, there was a cold front that was over on the other side of the country that pushed everything to the east somewhat. Now, folks, when you talk about these tornadoes, hurricanes, all these natural disasters, you know, it's always a little bit more devastating when you hit the heavier populated areas. A metropolitan area of Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville, Orlando, Pensacola is at that point probably a little larger, but you have Panama City, some of those in the panhandle along with Tallahassee, a little bit more populated than some of the areas that were affected by us. So, you know, you would expect more devastation on those, but that area where it hit Fort Myers, a lot of people have moved to the area. A lot of people have summer homes on that west coast of Florida. And it was just, you know, it was kind of gut-wrenching to see those folks, especially the elderly that could not help themselves. That was something that was, you know, you kind of get a lump in your throat about with that. But, again, it's just nature's way. It's not like you can't stop it. I know Florida always get a bad shake, but anywhere you can get affected by a hurricane. If it makes a turn, go up the Atlantic coast. Our friends and family that are in South Carolina, North Carolina, remember a hurricane hit as far as New York one year. So we really don't know where things, how they transform typhoons over on the other side, on the Pacific side. So, you know, you're going to be in harm's way. Now, a lot of you talk about you know, we know that they're coming. You're getting prepared. I think you were telling me that your county provided sand for you to get sandbags. Are you still here?
Yes, they did. I'm going to have to go ahead. That was my quick update. Brother Wiggum,
okay.
I'm about to head into church service.
Okay. Well, you know, we thank you so much. Stay safe.
Okay. And, y'all keep those folks down and that were devastated by the storm in your prayers.
All right. We appreciate it. And I know your church, y'all going to be praying for everyone, especially being there in the area. And again, I thank you so much for contributing to the World According to Drew.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
All right. Now, folks, you know, again, it's the devastation of it, of a hurricane down in Florida, even Louisiana. I talked earlier about the wildlife. You know, we think about the disturbance as humans of what we had to encounter. What do you think about the wildlife that's there? So, yeah, you're going to get some gators and some snakes and other things that are going to be washed up. But then again, we look here in Dallas where we have torrential downpours. Could be tornadoes, some of the things. Not only the houses are destroyed, but you have misplaced or displaced animals as well. You know, you have the armadillos. It's amazing how they burrow around here, armadillos, raccoons. But you got to remember, they're part of it too. We report on people, not animals. But there are a lot of different, the ecosystem is definitely upside down as it relates to all living creatures on this earth. So, again, prayers are going out to everyone in Florida, South Carolina, the Eastern Seaboard, Bermuda, who experienced one, Puerto Rico, Cuba. And if you look, Cuba is only 90 miles, folks, from the tip of Florida. 90 miles. That's an hour and a half drive. If you're going east of Dallas, that might be Tyler, as far as Tyler. So with that being said, you know, that's a short drive. Things can happen quickly with these storms, or especially at 50, 60 miles per hour, going as fast as you drive it. Can you imagine a car going 60 miles an hour that run into a house? That's how the storms are moving, with the speed limit being 55, 60, 70 in some instances or some places. Can you imagine that, running into a brick wall? So those are how those hurricanes or those natural disasters occur. So, again, defending monsoons and all that, you know they're coming. Anywhere from June to November, I remember, I think now they moved it to December. I remember when I was in school, we delayed our Thanksgiving weekend because of a hurricane. You know, our kids are supposed to leave maybe Tuesday to get home Wednesday, be there for Thursday. We couldn't leave to Friday with the bad weather that was coming to Tallahassee at that particular time. Power lines down. Trees, dash, and stay where you were because there's live wires of that in the street. It's very devastating, our natural disasters that we have in this world. I pose this question to you. Do you think something is going on with the ozone layer? Is it global warming? Did we hear this back in the 80s about global warming? In the 90s, global warming. America, wake up. Wake up. And there's no more sleeping in bed. That's why I play that song so much, because it's so relevant to how we react to things in this country. We just got to wake up. Don't, just because it didn't affect you, doesn't mean that we don't look at it. We're all about others trying to do and make things happen. Absolutely devastation. These natural disasters are something else. We're not set like people setting fires, doing things. That's one thing. I don't know if any of you got the opportunity to see, I think it was in Venice, somewhere in Florida, where a lot of active lines of electricity hit some water and had big sparks. Now, if that spark catch a building, the building burns. Someone's house, it burns. I was always taught for every action, and those who know chemistry, for every action, there is a reaction. For every storm, there is a chance of devastation. So preparedness is what we need to do. If you don't have power, maybe have a generator. Don't run it in the house there, because the fumes will get you. We never know how things are going to happen, but just be ready to react. Be ready to react. All right. We'll move on again. Just pray for them. Black College is in the air. Again, Prairie View and Grambling, outstanding, standing event. People were just happy to be out. They had the battle of the bands. If you attended last night, just let me know which one you thought performed. Now, we're so used to Grambling winning the State Fair Classic, Atlas's State Fair Classic. But as of late, Prairie View has stepped it up. Stepped it up. Grambling, they fought hard, but definitely it was clear that Prairie View had the better team on yesterday. Very fast, number five for Prairie View. He could get it. That's a good old term. You could say good, he's fast, around the block, we say he can get it. And get it encompasses all of that I mentioned. So, again, great things for those who attended Prairie View or like Prairie View. There's a similarity with your band and I's band. And I'll get this out, that your former director of bands at Prairie View attended FAMU. Y'all know what was coming, so I'm just letting you know. That's how we do. Now, I see we have some nurses on here, some very intelligent people that are online. Let's talk about concussion. There's a big thing, Tulua. I better stop at that point. I'm not going to try to mention his whole name. From Tua is what they call him. Out from Hawaii to University of Alabama. And I laugh because Nick Saban was talking about how recruiting, how a lot of these schools are cheating with their recruiting. Well, how can you get a whole family from Honolulu to come to Tuscaloosa, Alabama? I know your program is strong, but they give it up everything. Everything to come stateside. Did they get jobs? Who knows? Time will tell. But this guy was a star-studded collegiate athlete. Goes to the pros with the Dolphins. I think he's in his third year. And he's having these concussions. If you saw the last game, when he got hit, he had some constriction in his fingers. All right, and basically what that was, a disconnect between his brain and his nervous system that connects to his hands. Usually you've been concussed. That is the terminology we use in medicine. Well, every team has a neurosurgeon. If not a neurosurgeon, they have someone that's a neurologist that will, their purpose is to make sure. You ever see them put up two fingers in front of your eyes? Tell me how many fingers I'm holding. If you put one and he take two, you know he got some issues. Put up five and they take 10, you got some issues. Excuse me. So with that being said, I honestly feel it was so much pressure on that neurologist to say he's good. And it's a bad look for the National Football League. to put somebody in harm's danger when they have some concussed symptoms. I'm very upset about it. I don't care if they're black, white, yellow, or green. They're out there making millions of dollars for these owners. And not one time would the owner be concerned about the health of one of his players. That's a hell of a narrative to put out there. But think about it. And you don't have to go far to even think about this one. Dak Prescott had surgery. They decided not to put him on injured reserve. Well, luckily for the Cowboys, the backup quarterback is doing well. And I still think that the quarterback gets too much credit for games. They can win and lose. Defense can't win and lose. Individual players can't win and lose unless you're a quarterback. Russell Wilson can't win enough in the quarterback seat. Quarterbacks are changing the game. But when they talk about elite, whether you believe it or not, they're going to say Brady, Rodgers, Stafford, who I think is, he's from Dallas. You know, just tall kid that can sling it. But they give them credit for so much. How about Brissett? How about Prescott? Wilson? All these people of color. All of them. Can you imagine how we felt in 87? I think that was about it. It might have been a little late, 88. When Doug Williams became the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. That would make Doug so special. Not only being black, he attended Grambling State University. Now, I didn't say Michigan. I didn't say Texas. Went to Grambling. One exit that I know how to get to Grambling. One road. Once you hit that exit, go down about a mile. And then you reach this jewel that's in Mississippi. I mean, excuse me, in Louisiana. I got caught up because if you ever go to Alcorn, oh, yeah, you got to drive a long, long way. And guess what? The way you get in there is the way you come out. That's all I know about Alcorn. They might have cut some more roads out and down on the back end. But with Doug being at Grambling State, the legend of Eddie Robinson, you know, if you ever go to the world-famous Cotton Bowl, you'll see a picture of Eddie Robinson. And that his alma mater, the team that he coached, still plays at the State Fair Classic. And it was interesting how Hugh Jackson, he said the kid has been deserted a G on their hands. That's something to think about. But let's get back to this concussion thing. And all you got to do is press one. How do you feel? Are these kids getting pressured to play? Do you think they want to get out there and play, or you think buttons are being pulled? You have surgery today. They're pulling out stitches tomorrow, usually about 5 to 7 days. But they're pulling out the stitches much sooner. Do you think it's fair for our quarterbacks or anybody in the National Football League that's been banging their head? How do we handle concussions? Junior Seau, I'll show you the other narrative. Complained about headaches. Complained about not being able to respond to traumatic responses based on the impact that he endured for 16 weeks out of the season. Long time. What do you think about it? I need you out there. We need you. Let's go. You had surgery today. We're getting stitches out. Now, I'm no rocket scientist. No rocket scientist at all. When you hurt your thumb, how do you hold a football without using your thumb? Do you think they're going to Velcro it to his hand? How do you grip a football with no thumb? You're probably just as puzzled as I am about it. But this young guy, they're thinking that he can come back out? No. And then, as I tell you, anytime you have a neurological disconnect between your brain and the actual point where you're trying to get the impulses to, which was his fingers, they're constricted. Fixated. The neurosurgeons probably stated, hey, we don't need him to go back in the game. He's not doing well. But you look out there, he's on the field. I has been in the past. At what point do we treat these men, professional athletes, athletes from the age of 3 all the way up, that when they're hurting, get it checked out? I've been around you, football, baseball, all of it. Get up, be tough. Well, can he be a child? Or can she be a child? That's the thing. So much emphasis placed on that, but are we looking out for their well-being? All you got to do is press 1. I want to hear what you got to say about those. Paying a price. There's a chance that he could be paralyzed. Or if it's so fragile, all it takes is one bad hit to throw everything out of line. But we're sacrificing our athletes. And I'm going to be truthful. It's something about that mentally quick. You put a little bit in the white milk, and it turns it. Something to talk about. Something to talk about. All right. Well, my thing is they fired the coach. I mean, fired the surgeon, neurosurgeon or neuro trauma consultant. Why don't we fire the head coach? Owners, league, and the boys should never have to work another down. Give him his money. Let him go. It's a travesty of the potential of losing your life in a game that you love. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, I see everybody's real shy this morning. We're going to move on. Let's get something a little bit more exciting. We talked about the food, and hopefully we get Ms. Smith on in a little bit to share. You know, if you got some good experiences about the fair in the past, let me know. I tell you, it's just so, so nice to be out. I tell you, years ago, I was roller coaster. Try anything ride, guy. Now I look and say, oh, I can't believe I've been on that one. Or, oh. And look, and let you know that some of the rides have changed. But then again, you got a lot that have remained the same. But while you're out there, you can get your corny dog. We've listed some new things that they have at the State Fair of Texas. And I'll review what we went over. Dough muff, combination of donut and muffin. Shaken beef salad, fried sole egg roll, deep fried country cookout, and dim sum loco burritos. East meets west with dim sum loco burritos. And some touch of heart, culinary masterpiece is touch of your heart deep in the heart of Texas. This fusion between a savory burrito and crispy egg roll delivers the best of both worlds in one tasty bite. Traditional Tex-Mex flavors of smoked shredded pork, lightly fried diced potatoes, onions, bell peppers, mildly spicy, super melted pepper jack cheese, all rolled burrito style in the egg roll wrappers, and deep fried until golden brown and country. The flavors are complex and loaded with just lingering flavors. I'll come in and chipotle. Chipotle, however you want to, it's chipotle. And I'm just getting hungry right now, so I hope you all are getting hungry so you can go out to the state fair. Now, it is Sunday morning. I will not say any obscene things. I try not to. But they have a mother clucker chicken sandwich. A mother clucker chicken sandwich. This is a new bird in town, Nashville, hot chicken. And see, I've seen these places, Nashville fried chicken. I need to go in so I can have an idea on what to expect. This elevated fried chicken sandwich will make your mouth water. A fillet of juicy Nashville hot chicken is fried and then paired with a homemade pimento cheese and pickle. The perfect combination of creamy and crunchy. I know some of you are mouth-watering for this. It's called a chocolate-dipped cheesecake on a stick. You can have your cake and eat it, too, with drizzles, New York-style cheesecake on a stick. Each piece is dipped in magic shell beijing Belgium. We can make it happen. Chocolate and rolled in a variety of toppings, including hazelnuts, crushed Oreos, red velvet cake, strawberry crumble, and more. Be sure to check this out, this new vendor with specially flavored cheesecakes like pumpkin spice. I'm telling you, folks, I know some of us getting ready to go to church, or it is Cowboys playing at noon, so some of y'all might not be going, but we all praise together. You praise like you need to on Sunday morning. But we're hearing all these great food dishes that are new to the State Fair Classic. I'm coming to State Fair of Texas. You need to get out the Cajun lobster croquettes. Croquettes is French for a fancy filled tater tot. A Cajun lobster bisque croquettes is lightly seasoned potato balls filled with chunks. Rich lobster meat, creamy cheese, and then fried golden brown. The rich combination of flavor and texture is a symphony for your taste buds. Wow. I got to stop reading this stuff because I am really getting to the point where I'm getting pretty hungry. And you better believe in 20 minutes, I am going to break some bread. And I didn't get a chance to taste a lot of the food last night, but I'm going to try to get back out there and kind of loosen my waistband. You know, we talk about trying to eat healthy. I need to tell people to stay fair in Texas. They just need to stop. Don't eat half a fair. Because you know what? When we get too old for the rides, what do? We eat. I want to try this. You know, I can't take my pants in no more than what they are. I want to go in and not have the big old belly going out. They're going to make everybody get elastic waistbands after going to the fair this for the month of October. All right. So, folks, a lot has gone on. You know, we're talking about Putin. You know, he's kind of strong arming over there in the region, and they're getting a lot of resistance. He has a lot to describe, I mean, a lot to digest before his next move. So we'll be watching that. Don't forget your elections are coming up. Just make sure you check your local listings to find out when and where you have to vote. We got to do it. I'm going to, again, reintroduce this or bring it up again. And I want to hear your responses, folks, about this newer trauma physician or consultant about this concussion that you had. I think, personally, he should have stayed out a week or two so he could get things going, because then he hit in the head, you reactivate everything that they're going through. So let me know what you think. All you got to do is press 1. We'll get you in. Let's hear what you think. Because I think football impact, a lot of people may not do football, but I tell you, in the city of Dallas, Texas, the Cowboys are the pulse of the city. When the Cowboys win, oh, it's a great time. Great time for the city of Dallas. When they lose, you better watch out. Somebody might want to fight, because they'll accuse you for almost stepping on their toe. Almost. And we got to get away from this. The Miami Dolphins, in my opinion, should be fine. You hired the consultant. So he's working for you. He'll tell you everything is fine. He worked for the people. I think that the Dolphins need to be fine. Fine to the point. Well, see you later, alligator. It is absolutely a travesty. And their parents, the reason I keep bringing this up, if your baby or your grandson or your niece's little boy, grandnephew, whatever the case may be, and let me let you know, I am very sensitive and very abreast, very abreast of what is transpiring with our youth. It could be a young lady as well playing football. There are certain things you can find online that will test to see if your kid may have a concussion. Don't force that baby to get back in that game. Especially when they're young, you got brain bouncing left and right in the head. They have to. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm right now, I've been one of the biggest fans of the National Football League. I tell everybody, I put it on record, I have 3 professional teams that I follow all the time. Growing up in Florida, we only had 1 team for a long, long time. That was the Miami Dolphins. Then in 76, when the Bucs came along, growing up in Tampa, you went for the Buccaneers. Well, through some circumstances, when the Cowboys beat the Bucs as they were getting ready to go to the Super Bowl, fell in love with that star. And I think the star have a lot of people that are supporting. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable whatsoever. So, again, I'm going to move on to some things, but feel free to press 1. Do you think it was the right move to fire the consultant? Or do you investigate the coach wanting him out there? It's, I just get just dumbfounded that these things are happening and nobody of power is addressing the situation of this young man. Could you imagine how his parents felt? It was tough. It had to be tough. You don't want your child sick, you know? And I tell you, Dad, you feel it too. Don't play tough. Don't play tough with your family. You know what? If your kids see that you have some sensitivity towards their betterment, all I can tell you is they mind better. They mind better. All because you were concerned about them, wanting them to get the best. I have to tell you, I was a pretty decent athlete in my day. And I love every sport. I'm very competitive in checkers. But the thing is, with the kids, a big concern following them. I know your work schedule can be a little different, but you're following them through their plight on this road that we've already gone through. And I tell you, it has paid dividends of supporting their efforts. Makes a better person. It's about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. We've covered a lot, folks, and we are always happy that you're here with us on Sunday morning. Some of the other things, and don't forget to get your e-blast. Such a great item for us to display our stick to it this and making sure we provide you with the best information on a daily basis. I love shaking my head. Celebration of Black Press continuing a legacy, 10-year anniversary of the Garland Journal and the Texas Metro News. Dallas-based, and this is off their page, Dallas-based nonprofit to offer on-the-job training, marginalized filmmaking communities. So if you want to get your name in lights, check it out. Real Shot, Inc. It's just opportunities, provide opportunities to underrepresented station for filmmakers. Folks, this is, you know, everybody, we act in this thing we call life. Here's an opportunity where if you're really serious about it, then we can get you the information about the singing, dancing, whatever you want to do. Those are the things that are there for you. Happy anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Dixon. Celebrating their marriage, Cleovis and Arwilda Whiteside, going strong married for what? Oh, my God, 83 years? Oh, that's not, I got to applaud that. 83 years. Now, I won't do no math with that, but we just live with that one. Charles R. and Yolanda Wilson Smith celebrating 18 years. I don't know. It might have been a little typo there. Maybe I'm just dyslexic when it comes to that number. But those who want to congratulate all the folks, I'm willing to bet it might have been 38 years. Okay. Black Spotlight Business, National North Texas Entrepreneur Education and Training. See, so many ways. You know, a lot of people say you want to be entrepreneur, if you want to do this, I'm telling you, do whatever your heart so desires. But make sure, promise me this, get your information before you move, make that move. Make sure you understand all the honor, you know, all the things that are associated with you being successful in that particular thing. Because we all got dreams. But if you don't put it into action to see it grow, it'll only stay a dream. It'll stay in your head. Put it out there. See if people are interested in it. Those are things that we're looking for. Okay, it's about 6 minutes left. Folks, look at this e-blast. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Cheryl has put her hard work into just keeping us informed. Sharice Beasley Ray, superb woman of the day. Statesboro, Georgia. Oh, wow. Absolutely outstanding. Member of Sigma Gamma Rho. So as we wind things down, folks, again, we're going through some things. If you got kids in sports, please be aware. If they get hit or run into a kid and they come home and want to go to sleep, that ain't good. Wake them up. I'd rather for you to get mad about the price of a CAT scan than not to have a CAT scan if something happens to your child. Because that next generation is very important. All of them are important. Because I always say, when I go to schools, I try to motivate the kids to work. Find what you like to make it happen. Because when they become taxpaying citizens, us old folks are still getting that little check at the first of the month. And I remember a time where you had to walk out to the mailbox. All you do is look in your bank account. Now, so with that being said, you know, keep up with these kids. Don't let them, oh, I'm tired with them. Oh, how'd you get tired today? Oh, I was running. And me and Johnny ran into each other. I got a headache. All right, that's your first encounter. Make these kids exercise. Get them in the habit of doing what they need to do in order to make life happen. Staying healthy. I think some of us have fallen off the wagon, mainly because things are so convenient. I don't ever think as a kid growing up to 18, of how much we ate out just for a plain dinner. Don't remember. I just don't know. I had to think there with that little pause. But we have so much going on, folks, and I really thank you for being a part. We had a couple of guests. I guess they enjoyed the game so much they didn't even call in. But again, just to recap what was talked about Putin, just kind of strong-arming folks. This is the largest seizure since World War II that he's done. And we've gotten comfortable too, older folks, not thinking about some of the things of how we got where we are today, how we enjoy the fruits of our labor and make sure that they know their love for the kids and just get things in the right perspective. In the right perspective, because the world don't owe us anything. We grab the bull by the horns, but when you got things going on like over in Russia, things that are going on in America, talk with the kids. That's the point of the law. Talk with them. Make them abreast of what's going on. We got the elections coming up. Make sure you prepare to do that. Some key races in the state of Texas. Concussions, black college football. Enjoy the fair. And we might have some goodies lined up for you. for the State Fair of Texas. Just we'll work on it to have it in place for next week. I'm sorry, Cheryl. I was just reading through my script here. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, doing wonderful. Just going through some notes. I had my head down. I apologize for the sense of getting to you. I know we're getting close to the end, but I know you can grace us with some good nuggets.
Well, I just want to say condolences to the family of Byron Lattimore. And I know that people like Tommy Battle are in town to pay their respects. And they were at a celebration yesterday. And then tomorrow is the anniversary, family-versary, if you will, from Florida A&M University. And I just encourage people to continue supporting our HBCUs. And thanks to those who sent in congratulatory messages that we run in the newsletter every day. And I encourage others to send in your newsletters, congratulations. I mean, newspaper congratulations, and also to subscribe to the newsletter.
All right. Well, we thank you. We know you're doing great things. Glad to be on this ship with you, riding along. We just thank you so much for what you do. And want to thank you in advance for what you will continue to do in the future. And, folks, we've come to the end of this line. And we just want you to continue. Don't forget to read your African-American newspapers. We have 3, Texas Metro News, Garland Journal, and My Eye Messenger. Hey, you can't beat that. So wherever you do, wherever you go, always put God first. We go a long way with that. And you know what? We're out of time, but when it comes to God, we're always on time.
Oh, oh.